This is the best kept secret. And it's amazing how in certain cases, I do not need a job. I don't need cash flow.
Yes, if you have the cash or the retirement rollover. Our team, if you put our underwriters together, probably have over 100 years of SBA underwriting experience. And if there's a way to figure out to do a deal, I know they'll find it.
All right, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's episode is all about funding your franchise the smart way. And I am joined by franchise expert Anthony Bird from Benetrends Financial. Anthony and I have worked together for many, many years, helping aspiring business owners get the capital they need to launch and grow their franchise. In this episode, we break down a variety of funding options, including SBA lending, ROBS plans, the ROBS plans, equipment leasing, security-backed loans, home equity lines of credit, and unsecured lines of credit. If you're serious about buying a franchise, this is the episode you've been waiting for. Anthony shares insider tips, common mistakes to avoid, and how to approach funding with strategy, not stress. All right, I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's dive in. You know, sometimes there's nothing more deceptive than the obvious. We interview founders of brands, right? And it's like we have to bring in the lawyers. We have to bring in guys like you. You have so much intellectual property in your head, all these decades of experience that you have, and all the cycles that you've been through. The Obama administration is not Biden, is not the, like each administration, they change a lot.
Everything changes, the policies, the procedures.
What's going on? First, introduce yourself to the audience. Like, you know, who are you? A little bit about your background. And then tell me what's going on in this first 100 days. Like, how different is it? And what are you seeing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my name is Anthony Bird. I am the VP of Banking Development here at Benetrends Financial, 45-year-old company. I've been in SBA lending well over a decade now, and it is interesting times. And as long as I have been doing SBA financing, we have not seen this many impactful changes in such a short period of time. Here we are just past 100 days, but all of the SBA rule changes, regulations, everything has changed in less than 100 days of the new administration taking office. Just alone in these changes, over $12 billion funded in Q1, the largest Q1 the SBA has ever seen. And a lot of that has to do with that team that they put in place, the changes they're making, and getting banks to be comfortable in issuing funding, especially to the startup industry.
Isn't that interesting? So if I hear you correctly, $12 billion in loans for SBA alone, just the Small Business Administration loans, $12 billion in Q1, largest in the history. And what I'm hearing you say is that the days of no verification, the lax rules, isn't it interesting how when it's lax, they didn't get enough deals done. Now you're putting rules in place to get lending and you're doing more. It's like, think about that.
It's crazy. And no, I will say some unscrupulous lenders that were out there, not the people that I was in audience with. You know, there was a couple hundred million given in SBA loans to people under the age of 11 or over the age of 120. And so we definitely know that is not going to happen anymore. You know, they're verifying citizenship status now. That is a brand new rule. You have to a minimum have a green card to get an SBA loan. You used to be able to be a visa holder, H-1B work permit, E-2, EB-5. The days of that, unfortunately, for some of those folks are over. You know, will that come back and change? I don't know what that will look like. But as of right now, U.S. citizens and green card holders are the only ones that can get on the SBA loans with verification of IDs, passports, utility bills, all these extra levels now that are there as part of that, really more of a kind of, hey, we're going to cross some extra T's and make sure every single I is dotted, that we're issuing money to the right people and to the right place.
That's great to know. We get a ton of those phone calls. And as you know, millions of people from other countries have come to the United States and they're always asking about, I need a loan. I'm like, I can't get you a loan. You have to be a US citizen, but this is now a new update. Green card holders and US citizens are now eligible for SBA lending.
Right. And what Kelly said, and this is again, her words, her context, America is open for business and we are reopening Main Street. They want to get small business going. They're putting, again, these rules in place to make sure that happens. And that you know, these banks, she's challenging them. She said out there, hey, how many banks are using the SBA Capline program? The SBA Capline program is a working capital program for existing business owners to either expand or keep the doors open.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say, as I saw in a room of 1,000 people, maybe 8 people rose their hand.
Wow.
And so upsettingly, she said, come on, let's get this going. The program's there. We're going to back you. The rules are in place now. You're going to be covered if something doesn't work. Let's get the money into people's hands. Let's get this going. So she's putting that out there, and we're going to do the same thing. We're going to push our banks. Hey, who's going to give us the Capline program? How can we help existing business owners expand? So a lot of stuff there as far as, you know, getting that going.
Interesting. Okay. I like that. Let's go into the SBA. Seems to be the number one way to fund a business. We refer a ton of clients over to you guys. You do an amazing job. I cannot say enough positive things about Benetrends. A matter of fact, for the audience, we worked with Benetrends years ago and created the innovative funding booklet. So we collaborated with you and with Benetrends, right, to get this booklet. If anyone would like to get really a recap of this entire podcast and even more granular detail, just email me, cliffn@fernocity.com, and I'll give you the Benetrends innovative funding booklet. It's fantastic. And it's step by step getting down into, you know, even equipment leasing, just things like that, or the express loans. Let's talk about the SBA loan qualifying, right? The underwriting requirements, the dollar values that they're willing to lend. Tell us what you know about it, what's important to the audience. You know, our audience, they're all prospective franchisees and business owners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And so underwriting is the key, right? That is the way to get into the door, but not just for lending. It's the way to get in the door for a franchise. Let's say you're working with Cliff and you're trying to figure out, you know, what franchise am I going to buy and what does it look like? The best way I can equate this to is it's like buying a home, right? Can I afford a 3-bedroom home or a 4-bedroom home? Same thing with franchising. Can I afford 3 territories or 5 territories? So coming in early and getting that underwriting done as early as possible is crucial to making this a successful process. And there's different things that we're going to look at. Now, one of the changes that SBA made was a raising of the minimum SBSS score. And an SBSS score is what the banks and the SBA use to make sure that an individual can achieve an SBA loan based on their personal criteria. And so back in the day, we might have been able to look at credit, the 670, 675 range, or more in the 695 to 705 range to make sure that we can meet that elevated SBSS score. And so we do a soft credit pull, nothing that harms, damages, impacts credit in any way. And then we're looking at cash. Cash is king. Cash is so important to every single deal because I can tell you, you know, while our average down payment might be about 17%, we're pre-qualifying everybody at 20 and making sure that not only do they have the down payment necessary for the SBA loan, but that they have it to be able to make sure that there's still some money in the bank, right? A lender does not want to see you spend every penny on the down payment on an SBA loan. You might want to have that extra 10% there for a rainy day, right? You know, exactly. Becky might need braces, the car might break down, whatever that might be. And whether that's cash in the bank, whether you're utilizing our retirement rollover strategy to cover the down payment, heck, even a HELOC can sometimes work because it's you're borrowing from yourself. So there's so many different ways for us to be able to look at where do we get that cash from and figuring out the strategy around that. Okay. And then really the other two would be outside income, but you don't have to have a job necessarily to get an SBA loan. You could be paying yourself using our retirement rollover strategy. You can set up your own payroll account if you have enough of a cash reserve. So I hear all the time, do I need a job to get an SBA loan? Well, maybe, maybe not. Let's figure it out. Let's look at that personal strategy on how to figure out how we're going to get there, and then collateral.
So love it.
Cliff, this is a big one, right? And so collateral rules have completely changed with the new SBA standard operating procedures. And so while the minimum credit or collateral threshold used to be 500,000, they've now lowered the bar down to 350.
Wow.
So any deal 350,000 or higher will require collateral. If it's there, a bank must attach to it. If it's under 350,000, it becomes a bank's decision. But let's get into the weeds on that a little bit. And again, direct talk here from Kelly speaking on this, that if a loan is fully secured by the business assets under 350,000, then a bank can choose to go for forego collateral if they want. But if the loan is not fully secured by the assets of the business, even still under $350,000, their recommendation is to take collateral.
Okay.
And so it's really going to be down to the banks to figure out what this is going to look like and how it's going to secure. But we're going to look at that as part of that process. We'll provide guidance. You know, we have pockets of dozens and dozens and dozens of lenders, and we just figure out where to take the deal and how and where to make it work.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Man, there's so many golden nuggets in here. In certain cases, I do not need a job. I don't need cash flow, right?
Yes, if you have the cash or the retirement rollover, and that's the biggest thing. And that's where you come in and you allow us to look at someone's personal financial position. And we'll say, hey, you're not working right now, but you got a ton of cash. Let's put that cash in a payroll account. That's going to meet the lender's minimum requirement to get that. Or, hey, we're rolling over your retirement from a previous employer. We're going to put that in a C corporation. You can pay yourself out of the C corp and that'll meet a bank's requirement. So many different ways to be able to look at that and strategize. And that's why I just love my team, right? My team is incredible at coming in to find these solutions, to know what it looks like. Our team, if you put our underwriters together, probably have over 100 years of SBA underwriting experience. And if there's a way to figure out to do a deal, I know they'll find it.
Absolutely. The other thing I heard, you'll do SBA pre-approval. We tell all our clients, go to you, get SBA pre-approved. And now I'm hearing you're doing a soft pull and you'll do it for free.
Do it for free. We do the background check. We're collecting tax returns and we're turning around in just a couple business days, right? We're getting people answers and what they need to know so that they can help move through that process and feel confident. You know, a lot of the time, that biggest elephant in the room is, can I qualify for SBA? You know, the worst kind of phone call I can get is, hey, I signed my franchise agreement. I need to figure out if I can get a loan now.
Okay.
I think we did that backwards, right? Let's, you know, I don't want to disqualify somebody who just dropped $40,000 on a franchise fee. But let's make sure we're all landing on the same page. It keeps everybody happy, the borrower, the franchise, puts everybody where they need to be.
I love it. This is great. This really educates the audience on how this actually works because everyone has these preconceived ideas. I have to keep my job because I need cash flow. That might be true. But it might not. Again, if you have the assets to support the loan. Exactly. You don't always have to. Talk to me about direct industry experience. I want to buy a restaurant, but I'm not going to bother because I don't have restaurant experience. Are you seeing direct industry experience required to get these loans done? Do I need a kinesiology degree to buy a gym?
That is such a good question. And you know what? I would say the banks have different opinions on that. And unfortunately, we see a lot of times lenders will come in and blame the SBA. And the SBA, I will tell you directly, in that giant standard operating procedure they just issued, and nowhere do they say that you have to have experience to come in and open this business. But different banks might have that policy. But one thing that I can tell you is that going into a franchise is going to be that gateway to getting in, where if you don't have that industry experience, because of the support that you're going to get through a franchise, that allows us to get a lender comfortable.
Right on. Right?
If you're coming to open up a restaurant and I have zero restaurant background, I just got an idea that I want to open up a French fry restaurant, but I don't even know how to cut a potato, that's going to be a hard sell. Right. But if we're coming in and we're doing a franchise and the franchise has the training program and they're going to come out and train your staff and they're going to help you do this, and here's your operations manual, here's your recipe cards. Or I spoke with a franchise the other day, they just set up a U.S. commissary. So they're going to pre-do all the meat, sauces, seasonings, everything, and then ship it to the franchisees. You know, it just creates such a unique industry insight in being able to do a franchise compared to doing it as a startup. And I can tell you 9.9 times out of 10, we're going to see a lower down payment on a franchise than we would on an independent business.
Okay. Love that. And that was my next question. Here's what I tell clients. I want you to respond to this. They'll be like, hey, I'm looking at this business. It's 300 grand. How much cash do I need? I go, it's simple answer. Always multiply whatever you're looking at by 30%. They're like, that's 90 grand. How do you respond to that? If I tell you're looking at a $500,000 business, you need 150,000 cash. I've never been in trouble for saying this, but I would love your opinion on it.
And you're right on. I'm ready to bring you on the finance team. So yes, absolutely. Because our average down payment is going to be that 20% down. Now, are we going to land that every single deal? No, right? There's a disclaimer on that. But that is going to be the average, right? And we take on, you know, last year we funded over $100 million in SBA and our average down payment was 19%. But again, a bank doesn't want to see you spend every penny you have on the down payment. You have to have some personal reserves. So having that 10% number as personal reserves is really a safeguard to make sure that, you know, we're there. So if we're looking at 30% of your total project cost, most of the time, that's really going to be where we need to land. And I would say that's 98% of that time there.
Okay. You're dropping bombs today. There's so much here. You also made a comment about FICO. You're looking at 690. Did you say 705? 710?
695 to 7. I mean, if we can be 700 plus, that's going to be golden.
Okay.
You know, can we squeeze by 690, 695? I think we can. And keep in mind, back in the day, 675, 680 used to not be a problem. But part of that new standard operating procedures is that elevated, you know, qualification criteria, right? They want to make sure that people that are getting SBA loans have that credit history to be able to not default. And so one thing I will say, though, is that it's better to have less credit history than bad credit history. Nice. I just got an SBA loan done for some green card holders that have been here less than a year, and they bought a house and some cars. I mean, their credit score was great, but they didn't have a lot of credit history. But we were still able to get that deal done compared to somebody who had, you know, 90-day lates and collection accounts and all that kind of stuff. So it just varies on that. But this is something new. We've only done soft credit pulls in-house for the last 6 months. And we cover that cost because we're making sure that, you know, we're doing it, you know, it's not credit karma. And then all of a sudden we see a 50-point variation on what it is compared to the actual. So we can feel even more confident than we did before in putting together, you know, where they're going to land on that credit profile, making sure that we meet that SBA requirement.
Okay. All right. Love it. What are you seeing for rates? I have a lot of questions to unpack on SBA. Let's stay there. What are you seeing on rates today?
Yeah. So the thing about SBA rates is they're always federally regulated, right? And so the SBA stipulates that your maximum SBA rate on a standard 7A loan is prime plus up to 3%. Now, I will tell you 95% of lenders will live by the prime plus 2.75%. We very, very rarely ever see prime plus 3, but it does happen from time to time. But okay. Prime plus 2.75 is the max. Now, prime today currently sits at 7.5. That's going to put us in a max rate of about 10.25 to 10.5%.
Okay.
That is from three rate drops we had last year. So if we had had this conversation a year ago, we would have only seen the first half a point rate drop. But, you know, about 13, 14 months ago, we were at 11.25. So we're way down from where we were. Jerome Powell came out, you know, there was a lot of up and downs with the tariffs, and Jerome Powell's the Federal Chair of Reserve, and he's saying that we're expecting maybe one or two more rate drops this year. And so I think we're going to, before the end of the year, be back down into the single digit max, which is huge.
Man.
So we're really excited about that. We monitor it every day. Markets are trending well. Tariffs have calmed down. I think everything's working in the right direction to continue to watch those rates fall. So we're really excited about that.
Love it. Love it. Term. What are you seeing with a term? Let's use here's my example. Brick and mortar brand, $300,000 all-in investment. What are you seeing on the term?
Absolutely. So term on SBA, if you're leasing or it's a home-based business, 9.9 times out of 10, it's going to be a 10-year term.
10.
So 10-year term, fully amortized over 10 years, so principal and interest over that 10-year period. Now, we're very cognizant to only work with lenders that include a no prepayment penalty. And so folks can come in, pay it off early, save a bunch of interest if they do so. But let's say somebody throws in real estate, right? You mentioned brick and mortar. So we just did a big trampoline park project, and they ended up had an opportunity to buy the warehouse where they were going to put that. And that is how we get past that 10-year mark. Anytime that you can include the purchase of real estate, that's going to put us at the max of 25 years on SBA comparatively to the 10. And anytime that we would see less than 10 is that if a lease does not match the term of the loan, meaning let's say they can only get a 5-year term with a 2-year option, then the bank, based on that lease, is only going to be able to issue a 7-year term. And so it's all controlled by what that lease looks. Again, unless you're purchasing, then we can get a really big term.
Anthony, this trampoline park as an example, let's say it's a $5 million deal. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's say that the real estate was $2 million of the $5 million.
Right.
Are you saying that the operating capital, the furniture, fixture, and equipment, the $2 million for the land and the building is at the 25 or no? Some of it's 7-year money, some of it's 10-year money, and some of it's 25-year money.
So this particular deal, we were able to get done all under a 7A loan. And because we were able to get it done under a 7A loan, everything was under that 25-year term.
Wow.
Now, that's not the case every single time, because sometimes we do throw a 504 in. And if you do a 504, that's just to purchase the real estate. And then you come and piggyback a 7A loan on that. So then you have the real estate on the 504. And then you have the 10, you know, the build out construction all on the 7A. So different lenders have different opinions on that. Okay. The 504 is a little tricky because you have to bring in a government guaranteed lender, a CDC involved. And so some banks, you know, want to try and keep it all in-house and not involve the CDC. Again, it's all based on the lenders and their options. And this is a good time for me to throw in the legal disclaimer that we are not the SBA. We are not a bank, but this is what we see from different banks and different institutions and what that looks like. So I'm just saying right now, I'm not making claims on anything or speaking on behalf of any bank or the SBA. This is just our experience and what we've seen through that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Clients tell me all the time, they're like, that's okay, I'll go to my local bank and get an SBA loan. I'm like, absolutely not. You're gonna waste 120 days of your life, and I'm going to tell you how that movie plays out. It'll be a no, because these local banks barely know how to do anything at the local level. I tell everyone to go to you. How many banks are you working with? If I gave you a fitness deal, How many banks do you feel have an appetite just for fitness, or an appetite for food, or an appetite for home services, non-brick and mortar?
Yeah, and every bank is looking for something different. So if I put, you know, my list of lenders in front of you, I'd say we probably be at 75, 80 different banks that we work with around the country.
Right, and but that's why banks, you don't go to your local banker. Right there.
Exactly. Well, for a few reasons, right? And so local bank is, you know, sometimes not a PLP, and that stands for preferred lending partner. And this is a special designation that the SBA gives these lenders that they can access the SBA system directly without shipping your loan to the federal government. And so these banks know SBA inside and out, but every bank is looking for something different, right? And so, you know, I might have a dozen banks for fitness. Now, I'm not going to take somebody to a dozen banks. We'll go to three, you know, five, figure out where we can get the best term sheet from, right? So we're doing all of the work for them to figure out where that's going to land, where they're going to get the best, you know, kind of loan in moving forward in that process. Another thing, these local banks sometimes, one, aren't familiar with the franchise opportunity. I had an example the other day where someone said, hey, we don't have this restaurant within 500 miles, so we're not going to offer a loan. Well, what's that have to do with it? Just because, you know, we don't have the local record. Well, everybody starts somewhere, right? But there's plenty of banks who understand where you need to land. Or I had a bank the other day say that they thought the retirement rollover was illegal. Well, Benetrans has been doing the retirement rollover for 45 years now. So apparently we've been operating illegally for 45 years. Right. No, I'm kidding. Like, it just,
it's nonsense.
There's not enough knowledge out there. But again, we vet every single lender. And if a lender's not working or doing what they're supposed to, we'll cut them out. You know, we are making sure that our clients, number one, are taken care of and being supported by lenders who are going to come in, do this deal, understand the franchise industry, have that PLP status. You know, taking what could be a very tricky process and bringing ease to it is number one.
Okay. Love that. That's excellent. And I know it was tongue in cheek. You're not operating illegally. It's just the broad ignorance of our industry that don't understand that a rollover for business is a legal, absolutely legal, verified tax strategy. It's been blessed by the IRS. They named it affectionately ROBS. I hate the name, but they named it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We tried to call it the Rainmaker, but it wasn't working. So they named it the ROB. So the rollover for business startup, right? And so it's there. It's been around. And again, it's a great way to access capital. We have over 100 staff on team that support our retirement rollover clients. I mean, it's a great way to utilize it, but we're seeing more and more now than ever a combination of the ROBs and SBA. That ROBs is so crucial to have that down payment or cover that income requirement or find that little bit of extra working capital, and combining it with the SBA. Because one thing I can tell you, is that it's hard if you come in and just open a business with Rob's and you're bootstrapping, right? If you have $300,000 in retirement and the franchise costs $300,000, what are you going to do in 6 months if you need extra working capital? The SBA can't come in and fund a business that's operating that's not profitable. So a big piece of recommendation that we have is, hey, let's look at our Rob's and our SBA. Okay, here's the total project cost. You know what? It's going to make sense for you to hold on to some of your cash. And if you want to come in and pay off the SBA loan early, you can save all that interest if you want to. But at least you're knowing that you're starting in the best way that you can, having as much money as possible and having access to that.
Love it. I want to go back to the Rob's. So let's put that on the back burner. I want to wrap up on the 7A. Tell me about people always say to me, I want to go get my loan first. And I try and explain to him, you can't get the loan without a fully executed franchise agreement. There are things that need to happen. They're like, no, that's not true. I'm going to go get my loan. I've already been pre-approved. I'm like, you're not going to get funded. Tell us a little bit about, and I want to move on to Rob's because I'm excited about that conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Tell us about what needs to happen to get funded. How funding happens during stages of the construction of the brick and mortar unit. This is something no one knows and ever talks about. And I want to talk about it here with you.
Very true. It is something that's not as well talked about. And you're right. People think, oh yeah, and I'm just going to get the SBA loan. It's a $300,000 loan and they're going to cut me a check for $300,000. That's not how it works at all.
Right.
And so the best way to look at SBA is that it's a drawdown. And so let's just say you have your 20% down payment. We'll call it a $500,000 project cost. The bank wants to see that you've put in your $100,000, let's say by paying the franchise fee, by paying to get your corporation set up, by paying the Benetrans fee, whatever all those fees are, add up to be that $100,000, right? Because the bank doesn't want to check from you for down payment. They want to see that money spent on the business. And so we'll get that $100,000 out of pocket. Now that you spent your $100,000, where is that other $400,000 going to come from? It's going to come from the lender, but you have to meet the requirements to do that. So let's use the restaurant as an example. So one, we're going to need to have an executed franchise agreement. That's the key to the door. That's what's going to get us in. But secondarily, we're going to need a lease sign. Now, don't go sign a lease unless you know your SBA loan's approved. We can get a loan approval and then sign your lease. And then once that lease is signed, we can start getting the GC bids. You get your GC bid, you turn that over to the bank. The bank will come in and then fund the GC. The bank will then come and fund the architect. You'll get your equipment invoice. The bank will pay that. All of that money, the bank is going to control in where that's going to go. The only money that you're, as a borrower, would receive would be working capital. And that working capital is there to help cover, you know, operating expenses from rent, employees, marketing, any of those soft costs. But everything else is paid by the bank directly to those invoices. And so two things I want to mention here. One is, why can't I just get the money and pay the invoices? Well, it doesn't work like that. And coming out of the pandemic, they want to make sure people aren't buying Lamborghinis, right? And so, you know, that's one thing that is really more scrutinized. But also in the new SOP, working capital now has to be fully described in your business plan. And as a company that writes business plans, we used to be able to just have an item, line item that said, hey, working capital, $40,000. Bank would go, here you go, no problem. Well, now it's, hey, this is what my rent costs are. This is my employee costs. This is my marketing costs. So as part of that SOP, your business plan and your working capital and your financial projections are going to be looked at in a whole new light. And so it's really important to make sure that we're spending time on that and looking at that and meeting what the SBA and lender's expectations are going to be so that we can get that full amount of working capital while making sure it's explained.
This is great. Invaluable information. I want to go back to what you said. This may be, in my world, one of the number one reasons why people pump the brakes. I need to prepare a business plan and I don't know how to do it. And that's it. The dream ends, right? It is amazing to me how quickly a person will just cave and give up on a dream because they hit one roadblock like a business plan. Expand on that and how you help our clients, prospective buyers, with the business plan.
And we learned this a long time ago, right? And we have very educated folks. We have people who are doctors. We have MBAs. But very rarely has anyone ever written a business plan. And if they have, they have not written it to meet SBA criteria and guidelines. And so the SBA sets forth certain rules that you have to be able to include in a business plan and what that looks like. And so we discovered this need a long, long time ago and have developed an in-house business planning system where we have crafted this business plan to meet and exceed all SBA lender guidelines and criteria. Every single one of the business plans we put together is accepted by a bank. And we meet with banks regularly to make sure we're meeting their needs, to understand exactly what they're looking for. We put together 3 years of financial projections, but do you know that the first year has to be broken down month by month? You need a P&L, you need a balance sheet, you need a break-even analysis. All of that is there. And so we have an internal team that can do all of that for you, or we can break it off. If you just want us to do the financial projections, we can do just the projections and you can do the copy piece of the business plan. We're here to support anybody and everyone in whatever and exactly their needs are, but it is such a big piece. And not only has it been a big piece, as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's a bigger piece and more now than ever with what they're looking for. They want to make sure the money is going to the right place, and that business plan is going to give the SBA and the lenders that confidence to know where that money's going.
Okay. All right. This is great. Love it. So we're still on SBA. We talked about, obviously, it's 7A. We talked about the term. We talked about rates, underwriting requirements. We talked about the business plan in order to get it. You talked about stage payments. I want to discuss now that underwriting requirement, as I refer to it as that 30% number, and how a lot of people don't have the liquidity to do it, but they do have it in an old 401k rollover or an IRA or a SEP or a simple. And it's like, you do have the money. No, I don't have it. I came up short. I only have 10 grand in my checking account. You have $300,000 in an IRA rollover from a job that you hated 10 years ago. Yeah, but my accountant and everyone, my broker at Morgan Stanley told me I'm going to pay like through the nose at least 40 cents on the dollar, right? I have been dealing with this. By the way, this issue, most issues improve over time. Like, it used to be an unknown. It used to be like that. I'm still dealing with this to this day, 2025, over 20 years of explaining to CPAs, brokers, LLM tax attorneys on a conference call. I'm explaining to them that you're wrong. I'm literally telling them you're absolutely wrong. You're advising your client to not do this deal for fear of early withdrawal penalty, state income tax, federal income tax, and you are ill-advising them. Let's talk about the ROBS and how important this tax strategy is to creating liquidity in an illiquid situation to meet the underwriting requirement, or we'll call it the cash injection requirement to get an SBA loan.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's the best kept secret in funding that no one's trying to keep secret, right? We're all shouting from the rooftops. We're putting it out there. We're getting that marketing piece out there. All right? My chief marketing officer is amazing. And boots on the ground, you can see the ads everywhere, but people just don't understand it. And it's really coming down to Benetrends, our founder, Len Fisher, pioneered this 45 years ago with the IRS to realize that retirement accounts from a previous employer could be used to fund a business. And how this works is that we have to establish a C corporation. And if you establish that C corporation, we're allowed to utilize a stock transaction. And so just like you would do a stock transaction and taking your old retirement account and investing it in Apple, well, in this case, you're investing it in your franchise. And because you're doing that, if you have $300,000 in a retirement account, you can utilize all $300,000 tax and penalty free to be able to help fund your business. And so to your point, let's say they only have 10 grand in the bank, but they have that 300,000 in that old 401k, IRA, whatever that might be. Let's roll that over. Let's establish a C corporation. It takes 3 to 4 weeks to get done. And here we are able to now get somebody into a business. And I don't say this, but I get this comment all the time is that, hey, it's not really doing much for me in the market right now. I'm going to invest in a business and I'm going to build my own wealth. I'm going to build generational wealth utilizing my retirement funds how I want to use them and rely on myself instead of relying on somebody else's company to be able to build that. And so I won't take credit for that. I didn't coin that, but that's what people tell me all the time. But I feel it's true. And I really feel you are investing yourself. And if you're going to commit yourself to a business, you have the best chance to help, you know, get you to where you want to be and getting those funds grown. So it's really important to be able to use that. And we can use most retirement accounts. The only accounts we can't really touch are a Roth or an inherited IRA that wasn't from a spouse. Okay. But, you know, most everything else we can come in, you know, TSP account, military, whatever it might be, we can use all those different types of accounts.
It is the best kept secret. And it's amazing how like uninformed society is. And that's because Wall Street has done a better job of explaining to the world that the only way you can invest is with us. That's really what they said.
Yeah.
If you want to Pretty invest much. Your money, you really just need, it's either stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And the reality is put your money in yourself. Just like Anthony said, I completely agree. Just to put some emphasis, no, you can't use your current employer's 401k, right? You can't, everyone wants to, it's like, hey, I'm working right now. I got 200 grand. You cannot use a plan that is attached to your current employer. You need to separate service and roll it over to be able to use it. The other thing I want to mention is it's not a loan. This is not a loan. It's an investment. The same way you invested in mutual funds in your retirement plan, you're now investing in a business. There's no loan. There's really no, let's say, monthly return of principal or payback or interest rates. A lot of people don't understand that part. And you still maintain tax-deferred status. So Anthony, is this true? Is this true? Here's the scenario. I take 200 grand out of my IRA and I buy a franchise. 5 years later, I sell that franchise for 400,000. I've obviously made $200,000 off the sale of that franchise. Can I take that 400 grand, put it back in my IRA rollover?
Exactly. And you've just doubled your retirement account. And I mean, it's just the best way to look at it. And, you know, we get this comment all the time. My financial advisor said this was a bad idea. Well, they're going to tell you it's a bad idea because you're taking the money from them, right? They can't invest it anymore. They're not going to be your financial advisor if you're investing in your own retirement account. But it is such a great way to have those pre-tax dollars come back in. And you can set up a 401k plan. So if you want to take revenue that you're making from the business, you can still put pre-tax dollars back in retirement even while your business is operating. You don't even have to wait to sell the business. You can put all of these pre-tax dollars back into retirement and build that back over time. And then you can reinvest it in another franchise, right? You can keep growing your enterprise and using those pre-tax dollars and retirement funds. It's such a great strategy to be able to utilize.
In 1974, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act was created, and it gave all of us listening the right to self-direct our retirement assets. You don't need Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley and Bank of America. You don't need them to invest your money. You have the right, as we're explaining now, to do it and invest in you. And that's such an important part. But Anthony, let me explain what I do with clients. This is, and I'm gonna simplify it. I'll go, how much money do you have in your checking account? 100 grand, got it. How much do you have in your IRA? I have 100 grand. Okay, how do you wanna buy this franchise? Oh, I'm gonna use my checking account and I'm gonna pay the initial franchise fee, which is 50. And now I've got operating capital of 50 and I'm gonna get an SBA loan. Okay, great. Can I just expand your mind for a moment? Where did you get that 100 grand for the checking account? Well, it worked and I paid taxes on it. So that's after tax dollars. That's right. So let's just say you made $1.40 to get 100, something like that. Why would you use after tax dollars to do this deal when you can use, now, if I'm talking to a state tax, you could use the state of California's money, the federal government's money. A minimum of 40 cents on every dollar isn't your money to begin with. So when the world tells me that I have $1 million in my IRA, I'm the one that tells them, no, you don't. You have less than 700 grand in there. That money's not your money. I really never understood a Rob's, but now I get it. I'm using their money to speculate, to accumulate wealth by buying a business. So I said, if you actually lost, now I do this scenario. You fail. If you fail, then use your checking account. How much money did you lose? I lost 100 grand. If you fail using an IRA, how much money did you lose? 100 grand. No, they go, you're right. I only lost 60. Boom. You only lost 60. It's not your money to begin with. So I love the ROBS. Not enough people do it, understand it, but it is super powerful.
And that's why everybody on our team who's on the sales side of it are called consultants, right? We're here to consult. We're here to make sure and educate people on every single strategy that's out there, the ROBS, the SBA, other programs, right? Fleet, unsecured. There's so many different opportunities out there, but it comes from education. And I just love the way that you educate your clients. We want to educate everybody, and they should just come out of this feeling like, God, I know what I can do now. I really want to go forward, and here's how I'm going to do it because I got the team there to support us. And it's just so important to be able to do that. That's because not everybody out there does, right? And so it's just key. It really is.
Do you do conventional loans?
We do conventional loans. So conventional loans are tricky. Most lenders want to go the SBA route if they can because of the government guarantee that comes behind it, right? They're protecting their assets. But not every franchise out there is approved for SBA. So Lawn Suites, for example, you don't have enough employees, so you don't qualify for SBA. You know, there's different things there as far as that goes. So yes, do we do conventional lending? Absolutely. Is it trickier to get? 100%. The biggest thing with a conventional loan is collateral. And because a lender does not have the government guarantee, collateral is going to play such a big role in this. If you come to me and say, hey, Anthony, I want to open a salon suite, but I don't own a home, it's not going to happen, right? Okay. Unless you have that ROBS money to take you through that process. But outside of that, yes, is conventional lending available? 100%. Is collateral going to be required? Without a doubt. And it's going to need to cover, you know, 80 to 90% of the loan to make that happen, to get a bank comfortable to move through that process.
Okay. Got it. Love it. Back to SBA. I have a question about, here's a scenario. I have a client, $1 million in Apple stock. It's in a taxable account, wants to buy a franchise, but does not want to sell Apple stock with a cost basis down in the double digit. So you can understand the tax implications if he sells. Do you do security-backed lines of credit? Anything on the security side?
Yeah, so the security side we don't do in-house because it's mostly done by the fiduciary, right? Whoever is holding those funds are going to be the ones that access those security-backed lines of credit. But I will tell you that I will turn clients away who have access to those kind of things. You know, even with the SBA rates coming down this year, I had a gentleman the other day that could get his securities-backed line of credit at 5%. SBA's never even been that low.
Right.
And so we're very much about the mindset that, hey, we've looked at all your options. And to be honest, Benetrends isn't your best option. Why don't you try and utilize this instead? Because hell, if it was me, I would do the same thing. Right. So while we want to get as many, you know, folks going through our process as we can, we're going to let them know if it doesn't make sense. But for those security back lines, that's going to be done. Whoever's holding those stock, and most of the time, the rates are very, very favorable. And
that's
it's
right.
a great way to be able to utilize that. But there's also a way where folks can access down payment for SBA too. Let's say they don't have $1 million, they only have $100,000, and they want to utilize that and they don't have money in retirement. Again, different ways to be able to combo different programs to figure out how we can all get across the finish line.
That's right. I love that. That's been part of my success in this business, is understanding how to advise the client on funding a deal. See, everybody thinks they just come to the table and it's like, I need an SBA loan. Every deal in my world is a hybrid. It's a little bit of cash. It's a little bit of maybe a HELOC. It's a little SBA. Sometimes it's a little, right? It's like a hybrid to put the deal together.
100%. It's always something. It's figuring out that strategy, what works best for you, and education and empathy too, right? We've known these folks have worked their whole lives to build that retirement account, right? And we're utilizing this money to put, you know, invest in themselves, but we know their hand needs to be held. We know they need that guidance. We know what a big step this is. We feel what they're doing, and we just want to make sure that they know just as much as you're there to support them, we are too. And that's where we bring that total collaborative approach together.
Yep. Do you do HELOCs, or do you just suggest the client get one to get the deal done?
We're about a month away from launching a HELOC program. So we are very, very close. Today, we don't have it, but we're coming up with final agreements with the lender, and we will be able to offer HELOCs sooner than later. So that is some exciting news. You're actually probably the first to hear it, but since you asked, I will put it out there.
Wow.
And that's coming very soon. So we're really excited to be able to offer that here shortly.
That's great. I have a lot of non-brick and mortar deals. A lot of them don't want to go the SBA route. They just want to do equipment leases. Can you just do a straight up equipment lease to fund an operation, the vehicle, the equipment, et cetera? Can you just do equipment leasing, no SBA?
So we call that our fleet program. So if somebody wants to be able to just utilize financing for a truck, trailer, equipment package, everything that's like that, absolutely. The trick with the fleet program is, though, we have to include the vehicle, right? It's got to have something with a motor on it. Okay. But as long as it has something that's, you know, whether it's a food truck, whether it's anything else like that, then yes, we can utilize our fleet program to be able to get those wheels on the ground. And what's cool about the fleet program is that it doesn't report on your personal credit. So if you have a $200,000 truck you need for your business, that's a big hit to your credit. But because it's under the fleet program, it's given to your business entity. So you're going to build your business credit, making those monthly payments every month. So it's really cool to be able to utilize that fleet program instead of putting it all under your personal credit.
Okay. Okay. And finally, do you do unsecured lines of credit? We talked a lot about collateral today. Mm-hmm. How about unsecured? Yeah.
Unsecured. So we call it unsecured financing. So coming out of the pandemic, we've seen a lot of folks move away from the cap lines. Now, SBA is trying to get the cap line program going, but unsecured is really kind of a lump sum payment. And unsecured, we've been able to utilize from $50,000 all the way up to about $250,000, $350,000 around that mark. So yes, it is a non-collateralized loan. There's two criteria to qualify for unsecured. One, a 700 plus credit score, and two, outside income. And based on that credit score and outside income, we're going to come back and tell you how much unsecured financing you can get. And while unsecured is great because it doesn't require a down payment, I will tell you 99.9% of the time, it's going to carry a higher interest rate than SBA, and usually by a couple of points. But sometimes that's our only option, right? Somebody might not have cash, might not have friends and family, might not have retirement or securities or home equity, or we've looked at all the pieces and sorry, you're going to have to pay 2% more higher on the interest rate, but you know what? You're still going to be able to get your money. You're still going to be able to move through the process. And here's what that looks like. Again, just finding that solution and where that might, you know, be able to land. And so again, unsecured 700 plus outside income, and that's how we move it through there.
Anthony, what didn't we touch on that you offer at Benetrends? What didn't we talk about?
So the only thing that I would say that we don't offer, and we went through all of our different lending programs and things like that, is that we're starting to see, depending on the amount of employees in certain states, that whether you have a retirement rollover or not, that you have to offer a 401k plan. So like in California, 10 plus employees, you have to offer a 401k plan. Now you don't have to match it or anything like that. And so in realizing that there was a need for this with small business owners, again, whether they're doing ROBs or not, we're now starting to offer those 401k plans for these small business owners at a very affordable cost so that they can meet the state regulation. So there's only about a dozen states that are requiring that currently. And each state has a different criteria based on the number of employees, but we can help people move through that process and do that all internally here at Benetrends. So okay. Again, just making sure that we have every solution out there that to any type of business owner, as well as, you know, setting up corporate entities or whatever that might be. We do that as well. You know, not just a C Corp, we can set up the LLC, S Corp. We even offer discounts on that if you're doing it with an SBA loan. So a lot of fun things that we can do here, but we're here to really be a total solution to any type of small business owner.
This was absolutely fantastic. Loved it. Loved every minute of it. How do people get in touch with you, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can always check out our website, benetrends.com. You can email me directly, abyrd@benetrends.com. And then my direct line, 818-251-1343. But talk to Cliff. Let the Cliff always get you in touch with us and Justin. And we've worked together a very long time. And we're just continuing to grow and, you know, this relationship. And I just want to thank you so much for inviting me to be on today. With all of these changes that have come across, it's just so important that, you know, folks are staying in the loop, that they're utilizing, whether it's us or anybody else that has this type of knowledge, because it's crucial. Today's lending market is completely different than it was a year ago. And if you're not staying up to this kind of date, you're going to fall into something that's not going to be favorable. So always try and find a professional when going through this on, you know, this kind of thing.
I'm going to have you back on, especially for updates as we go along throughout the year. My final question, and we don't need to talk about it today, but because I think I want to have you back on the show. Are you still doing the Roth creation with the AB shares? Are you still doing that?
We are. So we call it the ROBS Plus, and that is probably a whole hour conversation in itself. But yeah, I would have a special guest on there as well.
I would absolutely love to drill down on that tax strategy because I think it's brilliant. You're the best, man. I can't thank you enough. Fantastic job. Loaded with value. This is something to listen to twice, folks. Thanks for joining me, Anthony. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to be back on and just love the relationship. Thank you again.
You got it, bud. Bye. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.